Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Genesis chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning about where did Enoch go? Where did Enoch go? If you're able, I want to invite you to honor God's word by standing. Genesis 5, and I tell you what, Ellen, I'm going to throw you a curve and read verse 5 and read verse 8, read verse 11, read verse 14, read verse 17 before we get to our focal passage. Because I think it speaks volumes. Genesis 5:5 says, "So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Verse 8, "So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Verse 11, "So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he, verse 14, "So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died." Verse 17, "So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died." Now, look at verse 21. "Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Lord, would you impart wisdom on the scriptures this morning? Would you honor your holy, authoritative word for our lives this morning? Help us, Lord Jesus. Help the preacher this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. And may your word comfort, may it challenge, may it stir, may it save, may it do whatever that you would have it to do this morning. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Genesis 5 is what I call the death chapter. It's like taking a stroll through a crowded morgue or taking a journey through a dark cemetery. We've all read the repetition in these verses, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. That's the recurring theme, is it not, in Genesis 5? Now remember, God never intended for mankind to die physically, emotionally, or spiritually. God even told Adam, "Of every tree in the garden you may eat, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, what shall happen? You will surely die." Well, you remember, Satan came to Eve and he told Eve, he said, "You won't die." And Eve ate. And then Adam ate. And then you get to chapter 5, and sure enough, God's word was coming to fruition. And he died. And he died. And he died. The Bible declares that in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. Surely there's an amen in here somewhere. Unless you like being dead. Now, the Bible also says it's appointed unto man once to die. but it's very interesting. As you're moving through Genesis 5, then suddenly, like a burst of light, there's a man who did not die. The Bible just simply says God took him. This man had the name of Enoch. Death did not triumph over Enoch. And by the way, he's the seventh man from Adam. And the number seven has significance. As you've learned in our study of Revelation on Sunday nights, the number seven is the divine number of divinity and perfection. And so the seventh man from Adam did not die. So who is this man that didn't die? We're going to talk about him a little bit. Enoch appears only briefly here in chapter 5. And again over in Hebrews 11 in verse 5 and Jude 14. Let's go there. Let's turn quickly. You don't have to go there. I can get it for you. Hebrews 11:5 says of Enoch. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. Also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed to an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so just in these three passages do we find the life and the man of Enoch. And to me, really, two things stand out to us when we put these passages of Scripture together. Number one, Enoch did not die. And number two, it says twice in Genesis 22, 23, and 24 that Enoch walked with God. Now, only two people in the Bible did not die. Do you know who? Enoch was one. Who's the other? Right, Elijah. And then there's only two. Now, a lot of people walked with God in the Scriptures, but only two are recorded that they did walk with God. Enoch was one who walked with God. Who was the other? Noah. Noah walked with God. Now, the phrase, I think, in the Bible that best characterizes the Christian life is someone who walks with God. How many of you have found out that the Christian life is not a sprint? It is a walk. It is a walk. And of course, in Jesus' day, everybody walked wherever they went. They didn't have cars. Jesus didn't get a car for his 16th birthday. Okay? Everybody walked. And today, the description, I believe, that best describes somebody who's in a relationship with God is someone who walks with God. Now, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so Enoch had a walk with God. They agreed about some things. And so when a man is, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl is walking with God, it signifies that they've been reconciled to God, but it also tells us that they are living a life of obedience and intimacy with God. That's what it means to walk with God. Are y'all with me so far? We're just setting the table, all right? Now, are y'all with me so far? Some of you are about to go to sleep. If you go to sleep on me, I'm going to throw you in the river today. In no time, you'll be in Ohio. So I want to talk to you for a little while about this preacher that walked with God. And then even more specifically about the preacher who walked with God all the way to heaven. And let me say three things this morning about this man named Enoch. And just give you three good truths you can hang your hat on when you leave here. Walking with God begins, first of all, with salvation. Now, look again there at verse 22. After he begot, now who is he? Enoch. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So every journey of faith begins with a first step. And the Bible tells us there has to be a time when you begin walking with God. Right? I mean, you got to learn to crawl before you learn to walk, and you got to learn to walk before you run. But with God, we're in this walk, and there has to be a beginning. And the first 65 years of Enoch's life, He did not walk with God. He walked according to this world, to the ways of this world. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the culture that Enoch was living in. Enoch lived in a culture that basically lived without God. Enoch's world was filled with culture and commerce and music and industry and religion and all that. Sounds a lot like our world, doesn't it? But Genesis 6 reveals that Enoch's world was filled with violence, wickedness, and evil. And the family tree of, not of Enoch, but of Cain, was filled with killing, adultery, bigamy, arrogance. And it was so bad that Genesis 6 tells us that God was grieved that He'd even made mankind. And He was about to get rid of humanity. The vast majority of people of Enoch's day and Noah's day were people who were on the highway to hell. And when you look, and by the way, all but 8 people in Noah's day were on the highway to hell. Enoch, for 65 years, was on the highway to hell. And when you think about the world that we're living in today, it is characterized by violence, wickedness, and evil. How many of you would agree that we're living in the days of Noah? I don't want to get into all these statistics again. I've given you all some real statistics that signify that we're under social disruption today over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And social disruption is a blight on our society. I mean, we've got all these issues and all of these problems, and things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. Things are going downhill. But spiritually speaking, even this week, how many of y'all saw the article that Clarksville is the 5th most sinful city? Not Clarksville. Tennessee is the 5th most sinful state in the nation. Any of y'all see that article? Melinda Mabry put it up. And I got to looking at it. And we're number one. Tennessee's number one in hatred and anger. Social disruption. And any barometer, any way you want to measure our society, we are living in the days of Noah. Then sexual perversion. Do I have to tell you that idolatry and immorality are the hallmarks of what's going on today in our nation? I mean, have you been following the news and these terrible laws that the state of Vermont and Virginia and New York have passed? Y'all seen that, right? Oh my goodness, we're in a mess. Sexual perversion, emotional confusion. I told you last week, you can't even hardly get in to see a counselor anymore. They're full. And the opioid industry is tearing us apart, epidemic, emotional confusion. And then, of course, you've got spiritual rebellion. And even in the church today, folks who claim to be believers. I ran across this past week, and y'all know how I am. I love people. I do. I love people. But sometimes you have to say hard things to love people, right? And this old boy is living as close to hell as he can and yet still make it to heaven. We've got spiritual rebellion going on. It's much like today as it was in the days of not just Noah, but of Enoch. And so Enoch was on the highway of hell. Now we're going to get positive. Are y'all ready for this? If you're not ready for that, just keep frowning, okay? At the age of 65, Enoch got off the highway that leads to hell and got on the highway that leads to heaven. Amen? Now, what happened there? What caused him to begin walking with God? Well, watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this. Enoch, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot who? After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. I've seen this over and over again as a pastor. A young couple will have a child. And man, it dawns on that young couple, you know what? We're not only responsible for their physical maturity and growth, we're responsible for their spiritual maturity and growth. And that young couple will get right with God. And they'll get back in church. And they'll do these things because God's got their attention through the birth of this child. And that's what happened to Enoch. He had a son named Methuselah. Now, listen to this. This is really interesting. This is awesome. Oftentimes, when a child is born in a family, it changes the family. Alfred Jones, in his Dictionary of Hebrew Proper Names, reveals something about the name of Methuselah. The word muth means to die, he says. And the word salah means to sin. And so when you put that word together, Methuselah's name means when he dies, I will send it. Send what? The flood. Isn't that amazing? And so somehow, I believe God revealed to Enoch that he was going to destroy the world with a flood when his boy died, when Methuselah died. And so don't you just imagine every time Methuselah had a runny nose or got to sneezing, uh-oh, this is it. But somehow I believe Enoch knew that. That's what the name, according to this great scholar Alfred Jones, believes that Methuselah's name is, when he dies, I will send it. And so, and by the way, Methuselah, this is a great truth. Methuselah lived how long? 969 years. Lived longer than anybody else. Now, why in these days that were characterized by evil and wickedness and all of these terrible things, why in the world, and if God was going to send the flood when Methuselah died, why did he let Methuselah live 900, almost 1,000 years? Because God is a God of grace, that's why. God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, and he extends those things to people, does he not? And so, after the birth of his son, Enoch began to walk with God. Now, next question that pops in my silly mind is, well, if Enoch began to walk with God at the age of 65, how did he begin walking with God? In other words, how did he get on the highway to heaven? How did he get saved? I'm so glad you asked. Look back. This is great. This is fantastic. Hebrews 11:5. I want to go back there again. Hebrews 11 is the what chapter? Yes. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Now, look what Genesis 6 and verse 8 says about Noah. Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did Enoch begin to walk with God? How was he saved? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. There's never been any other way to be saved. By grace, the grace of God, we don't deserve salvation, but God, out of His infinite great love for us, and I did say love, David, God sent His Son. Hallelujah. And those who have placed their trust in faith in God, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me, but by me, right? And so we place our trust and faith in Christ and Christ alone. By grace, through faith, at the age of 65, he was a senior adult and came to Jesus. And then walked another 300 years. You see, before the flood, people lived long lives. And now Enoch's walking with God. He started walking with God on that highway that leads to heaven. And so walking with God begins with salvation. Ooh, mercy, it's 10:18 already. Walking with God builds sanctification. I don't want to throw a big Bible word on you, but that word sanctification means growing in godliness, spiritual maturity. Growing up in Jesus. That's what that word sanctification. Y'all with me? Okay. So walking with God builds sanctification. Now, 300 years, Enoch's walking with God. And I wonder how Enoch learned how. Now, this is really cool, too. How did Enoch learn once he came to faith in God? How did he learn how to walk with God? Well, guess who's on the earth at the same time Enoch's on the earth? Adam. Remember Enoch's the seventh man from Adam? Adam lived how long? 930 years. How old was Adam? How old was Adam when Enoch was born? Just 622 years old. And so when you start looking at that, the seventh from Adam, he was the great, 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 great granddaddy of Enoch. And so don't you know that Enoch had not only heard about Adam, but was so impressed with Adam? Granddaddy, tell me about the good old days. Granddaddy? I hear you used to walk with God. Granddaddy, tell me how you walked in the garden with God. How was that? What was that like? And don't you know, just know, I can just hear Adam saying, son, son, he walked with me. He talked with me. He told me that I am his own. I wish y'all could see how y'all are looking right now. Don't you know that Adam had a great influence? And it, grandparents, how many grandparents we got in the building? Don't you ever sell yourself short. You can have a tremendous impact and influence on your grandchildren. Even if the kids are grown and gone, you can still minister to the grandchildren and you can send them home when you get tired. Hallelujah. Let me say that to y'all. You can send them home when you get tired. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. You see, what it means to walk with God in this sanctification process is we walk with God in prayer and Bible study. Is there a time in your life, in your day, when you spend some time with God in His Word and in prayer? Those two things have changed my life. Being in the Word of God and talking to the Lord. Prayer and Bible study. A life of devotion. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Y'all claim to know the hymns. I guess you don't. When is that time during the day that you spend devoted with God? There's all kinds of daily Bible studies. I'm reading through the Bible again this year. There's all kinds of daily Bible readings out there for you. Devotional readings. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer. Do you have that sweet hour of prayer each and every day? Oh, listen, folks. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the... And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God... discloses. Oh, friend, God speaks to us in His Word and we speak to Him in prayer. That's what it means to walk with God. And so this life of walking with God involves a life of devotion. It also involves a life of separation. Uh-oh, this is the one Baptists break out in hives over. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate. If you're going to walk with God, there's some things you got to let go of. My boy saw, you remember back in grade school, we used to get these pieces of paper and we would fold them up and make paper footballs. How many of y'all played paper football? Even the girls played paper football. And you know, you fold it up in like a triangle and then you would, you know, flip it to and if the paper football got to the end of the table or the desk that you were playing with the other person and part of it was hanging off, touchdown. Remember? And then you had the field goal, you know, the extra point, you know. Y'all remember that? And y'all, I wanted to be the Barksdale Elementary paper football champion. But guess what? In seventh grade, I started playing tackle football at Greenwood Junior High School. And you know what? I never picked up Mike at paper football again. You see, I had to let that go because I'm in the real deal now. I'm playing tackle football. And when you come to Christ, now hear me, y'all. I don't believe the Christian life is a set of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. I don't believe the Christian life is about legalism. If I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to make a mistake on the side of grace. But there are some things, attitudes, speech, there are some things that we've got to let go of. But I tell you, the things that I've let go in coming to know Christ, I've gotten far more in return from the Lord Jesus than I've ever given up. Can anybody else in here say amen to that? Amen. Give God praise for that. And then a life of proclamation, life of devotion, life of separation, and a life of proclamation. And I'll hurry. Listen to what Jude says again. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. That's proclamation. About these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him, against God. Jude tells us that Enoch was a preacher. And he was a hard preacher. He said the hard things. Now, what did he preach? Well, he told the people that the Lord's coming with 10,000 of His saints. In other words, he was preaching the second coming way back in Genesis. Are y'all with me? And he preached judgment. Now, Enoch, we've already discussed, probably knew about the judgment of the coming flood. God had revealed to him. But there's also eschatological overtones here about the great white throne judgment. In other words, Enoch was a preacher who told folks they were lost. That they were on the highway to hell. They needed to get on the highway to hell. The word harsh is our Greek word scleron, which we get our word sclerosis from, which means hard, hardening of the heart, you know. This brother was willing to say the hard things to people. I've had people say, you can't call people sinners. Oh, really? Why not? Because you'll run them off. Where are you going to run them off to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? People need to understand truth. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, you're going to get upset with me from time to time. And you may even get angry with me or mad at me. But nobody will ever love you more than I do. And I tell you, I'm praying for all of you. And I want you to know the truth so you can live the truth out in your life. Amen. Let me tell you, God jumps up and down on my toes all week. I'm just passing that blessing along. Preacher can't preach unless he's got a message from God. And I'll tell you, part of the reason that we're in the mess that we're in is because my brother's in the pulpit. We're telling everybody about what they need to hear, but what they need to hear. I think Billy said it a while back. We've got preacherettes preaching 15-minute sermons. I want to tell you something, folks. 15-minute sermons don't cut it. Preacherettes preaching sermonettes make for Christianettes who dress like majorettes and live in kitchenettes and drive in Corvettes and smoke out. Well, anyways. If you have a pastor or a minister in your family or in your circle of influence that loves you enough to give you the hard truths of God's Word, thank God for somebody like that. I thank God for my pastors that I was raised up under. Every day I thank God for them. I prayed for them this morning. I used to talk to Mom and Dad when we were down in Wayne County just about every week. And every time I'd talk to Mom or Dad, you know what they'd say? Because the conversation would roll around to the church. And my mama would say, "Son, just preach the Word. Just preach the Word. Just preach the Word." And we're to all preach the Word. That's the word proclaim. You're a herald. You're one who's supposed to spread and give and proclaim the good news. And so, in a 15-minute sermons, all my brothers got to say, join the Moose Club and go give an invocation. It's time that we got back to speaking truth right here. That's what Enoch did. So that people might be saved. Walking with God builds a life of sanctification. And then finally, walking with God brings glorification. Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the writer of Hebrews embellishes this a little. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found. He was not found. Walking with God brings glorification. They couldn't find him. In other words, somebody went looking for him. They missed him. And Helen, I know you're missing your husband. But I want to tell you what. You're my sister and he's my brother. And whether or not you see him here, you're going to see him there. Y'all, that's good preaching. Somebody ought to shout there. Brother Shep, he used to sit right over there where Kenda's sitting. And he used to tell me, we'd get to talking about death or rapture, you know, resurrection or rapture. And he said, "Well, I've got more days behind me. I'm probably going to have to experience resurrection." But he said, "I'm thinking about renting a tombstone. I don't know whether it's going to be death. I don't know whether it's going to be rapture. Now that I'm a little older, rapture is starting to look." Amen? Now, the word "took" here, this is interesting, is the Greek word metatithemi. And that's a musical term. It means to transpose from one key into a higher key. In other words, when God took Enoch, he transposed him from here and took him there. That sounds a whole lot like rapture to me. Amen? And Jerry Vines tells a story about two of his ladies wound up in the hospital at the same time, same hospital, and both these ladies were in the same room. They weren't in the same bed, but they were in the same room. And so he makes a visit to them, and he walks in, and both the ladies look up. "Oh, Dr. Vines, it's so good to see you. Come on in. We're talking about the rupture of the church." In some ways, that's true too. Rapture. I think Enoch is a picture of what the rapture will be like. One minute we're here, the next minute we're there. Changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Caught up to meet him in the air. Or if it's death, 1 second after death, I think we'll look around and, "You mean this is all there is to this? I wish this had happened a long time ago." And if we could see heaven today, oh my. If we could experience heaven today, we'd be so homesick, everybody, every one of us would ready to leave out of here. Can you imagine leaving here, stepping from death onto heavenly shore? Taking your next breath, and it's a celestial breath. moving from here and being in glory in your new home? If you walk with God, there's some wonderful promises for us. You can walk with God. If you're walking with God, the Bible says you can walk on water and not go under. Anybody want to try today? The Bible says you can walk in a fire and not be burned. And you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. Walking with God brings glorification. One day, Enoch and God were out walking. And God must have looked at Enoch and said, Enoch, we're closer to my house and we are to yours. Why don't you come on home with me and spend the night? And Enoch said, okay. And that's where Enoch is today, because you see in heaven there is no night. And he's walking in glory this morning. Some glad morning when this life is over. I'm going to fly away. When your time comes, and your time's coming, who's coming to get you? Who is coming to get you? Don't you sit there and tell me, oh, I've been a good person. Uh-uh. Jesus is the only one good. And you need His righteousness. Don't you tell me, oh, my granddaddy was a Baptist preacher for 80 years. Uh-uh. You ain't getting to heaven on His coattails. Jesus said, you got to come to me. You have to come to God His way. You see, if you want to go to glory, glory's got to get into you. If you want to be heaven bound, you've got to be heaven born. And my Bible tells me today, if you be willing to repent of your sin, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And place your faith in Christ and Christ alone, what He did for you on the cross, believing that He's the Son of God and that He's the Lord of this universe. If you'll call upon Him to save you, the Bible says anyone can be saved. Who's coming to get you? Let's pray. Father, thank You for these wonderful messages from Your Word. Thank You for a man like Enoch. Oh God, I don't know if there's anyone here that needs You today or not. Usually in a crowd this size, there's always somebody who needs to be saved, who needs to be born again. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here who has been born again and they need to begin living a life. They need to get to walking right. And walking begins with baptism and church membership, on and on down the line. Maybe we need to do some soul searching here today. Whatever You want to do, Lord, this time is Yours. For those that have prayed to receive Christ sitting in their chair today, Your Word says if we're ashamed of You, that You'll be ashamed of us before our Father in heaven. And so to help people to take their stand for Christ today, so that they'll be ready for resurrection or rapture, either one. And begin that wonderful walk with You that all of us can have. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.